Faith isn't just a belief system. It's a place of movement. It's a place of dreaming and doing something that's so radical that it invites our Father's participation and all of heaven's attention. All the plans of heaven start out as whispers in our hearts, dares us to partner with the plans of another world. It is grabbing heaven with one hand and earth with the other, and pulling them together in a love collision that overpowers all earthly reign and rule. Join us for a day of encounter. Local worship leaders and Kent Henry will be leading us into a life-changing encounter. We're going on a voyage, a place of discovery, crossing over into uncharted lands in partnership with our King.
Uncharted with Kent Henry is a free all-day event hosted at Impact Life Church Saturday, August 5th. Made possible by the generous contributions of Impact Life Church, Crossroads Ministries, Underwood Dental Labs, Ernie Williamson Music, In His Hands, and Joplin Family Worship Center. Find out more at nextgenworship.com/uncharted.
Everywhere the King is King, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. How y'all doing today?
Gomer Pyle.
I don't know.
Goober Pyle. I don't know which one you are.
I don't know, man. I just got off the phone with a good old buddy from Texas, and this is how he talks.
You know, I flew into Texas one time, and I got off the plane, and I got scared. Because even the lady on the overhead intercom thing, she was like, "Welcome to Texas." And I was like, "What? Where am I?" Yeah. It scared me a little.
Well, you know, Southern draws are different all across this great nation of ours.
Yeah.
Texas just has a draw but doesn't like to hang on to it too long.
Yeah.
It's different in Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Come on, Haley.
I don't know if Arkansas holds on to anything for very long.
Well, sometimes I don't hang on to it at all, and then other times
One time we were doing a cave tour, and the guy leading it said the trailer tears came through here, and Clint was like,
I was trying to figure
who
this thing
they?
Out
and I was like, the Trail of Tears.
He's like, I heard of, what'd you say?
I was like, I've heard of the Musketeers, I never heard of the Trail of Tears.
The Trail of Tears.
I spent the whole time trying to figure that out. I missed the whole lecture about the history.
The whole thing about the Trail of Tears.
I'm like, who in the heck are the Trail of Tears? How did I not hear about them before?
Is that a minor league baseball team here in Arkansas?
Yeah, it is.
But if you head out east, you get a little more of a debonair accent out there in like Georgia, South Carolina.
That's nice. I have a friend from Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. And, let's hear some of that. Come on.
I like her accent. Whenever things are taking too long, she says, well, he crawled up Hogsworth to find a ham sandwich. Can't make a silk purse out of sow's hair.
Oh, my goodness. At least you can kind of understand those references. You go down to Louisiana, you can't understand anything.
Chew them.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the swamp people.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I lived in Baton Rouge for Baton Rouge.
Did you really?
Yeah, when I was growing up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Good food down there.
Haley's born in New Orleans.
I was, but I don't talk like I came from there. You can sometimes.
Oh, yeah, here's what we're going to do.
If you make her mad a little bit, she will.
No, that's not true. If I get mad, I just get country. That's what they told us when we lived in Kansas City, that I sounded like I was just country.
Mm. Yeah, they're like, so where are you from? Like, they tell me this at work. So where are you from? You've got kind of an accent, you know? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, the truth, I'll tell you that right now. But the accent that I gravitate to more than any other of the southern accents is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because that's just where my family is, and I understand Oklahoma like nobody's business. You know what I'm saying?
What's your uncle's name?
Uncle Jerry.
Yeah, Uncle Jerry has an accent. He has a region all his own.
Hey, buddy boy, you going to come with me to go feed the calves? Huh? Yeah, I'll come with you, Uncle Jerry.
But that's different than what you just did. That's like a cross between Arkansas and Oklahoma and Texas, all rolled into one.
People. Uncle Jerry is just a different guy.
Oh.
But I was doing more of like an R.D. Mercer. How big a boy are you?
Yeah.
But he's from Bixby, Oklahoma.
Bixby?
Yeah. He's not really from anywhere because he's a fictional character, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, the host of the On Fire podcast is sitting right across the table from me there. I didn't even know I went up north or something.
You went north, didn't you?
An On Fire podcast from Minnesota.
Oh, dear. Hey, we're going to get on fire today, dear. And
have some bars, have some egg bake, and a little on fire.
Is that a grizzly bar? Anyway, yes, we're going to be sitting down with Alicia and Haley from the On Fire podcast next week, talking about empowering women to thrive. And it's going to be an exciting show for the ladies and for the men. It's going to be awesome. Today we're talking about hope dealers, slinging some hope, and later on in the show, Aaron Garcia will be joining us, talking about igniting our culture with hope.
The single mom raising kids alone. The woman headed back to school to start a new career. The woman loving and cherishing children that you didn't get to birth. The single woman who isn't waiting for a man to help you really live your adventure. The brave mom who homeschools, the brave mom who doesn't. The businesswoman, the lady preacher who's going against the religious flow. Every day, you fight for what is right and good and healthy. You wage war against dysfunctional patterns and habits in your own life and in the world around you by living with a heart that is becoming whole and healthy. You were made with a beautiful mind that solves problems and a beautiful body that creates and sustains life. You are Wonder Woman. Look around you, see the beautiful ones, and champion them.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're empowering women to thrive.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You better.
We're going to have on the show with us the hosts of the On Fire podcast, our very own Haley Kaler and Alicia Rosler.
Yeah, On Fire is incredible. Got some great feedback already. Touching women's lives. It's a podcast powered by Next Gen Worship. Empowering women to thrive. I can't wait.
I tell you what, I've just seen it blow up with comments and shares on Facebook. Ladies love the show.
Yeah, they do. There's nothing really like it out there. And it's really well done. So kudos to the production team.
Plus, we're pretty.
Kudos to the production team. You don't even have to do the hard stuff. You get to do the fun stuff. You got poor Zach.
Oh, yeah. You're the production team.
Zach, the intern, is carrying some professional weight here.
He was taught by the best.
Wait a minute. What about us? We're the ones who come up with the content.
That's true. You guys are doing an incredible job.
Yes, and everybody is doing such a great job.
Yes, everybody gets an A+ on the whole team. There we go.
Yay.
Yay.
Now we're millennials.
Today, we are going to dive into the subject matter of hope dealers. Now, this is a phrase coined by Howie Nunnally, a local legend here in Joplin, Missouri, a few months back. And hashtag hope dealers showed up on bumper stickers, t-shirts, all over the place.
Yeah.
He's my pastor, so he was teaching on hope dealers, actually getting outside the four walls. That was the whole message. Get outside the four walls and be a hope dealer.
Yeah. I think it's one of the things that really marks what's happening in our city. Howie's a part of us. We're a part of Howie. I don't know. It's all love.
We're all family, baby.
To quote Nick Smith. But hope is very vital and is one of the things that I've had told to me many times when people get around us. They're like, I don't know what it is. I just have hope when I'm around you. Well, it's for a reason. It's because we're carrying hope as an encounter. And you've got to recognize, first of all, that hope is important. And I don't think a lot of people do. I think even maybe in religious circles are like, oh, hope is not, you know, let's not get people's hopes up or that whole narrative.
Or the hope is beyond life. The hope of glory.
Yeah. They
means
put hope,
I will one day get to heaven.
they put hope off into the future and all that. But really, what does the Bible say? Most memorable scripture maybe is that faith is the substance of things what?
Hoped for.
Yeah. Hope is the foundation for faith. And one of the reasons why people are so starved is that, number one, religion can never produce freedom because its foundation is restriction. So hope breeds freedom. Yeah. And that's what you love when you get around. You can finally breathe. You feel like, ah, you know, there is a future. There is a hope. There is something to look forward to. not in just the life to come, but right now.
That's so interesting that you mentioned hope and faith, because what I grew up hearing was that faith was what you need to have, and just been you're a hoping and a praying. That's not faith, and that's, you know, worthless. But the reality is you cannot have faith if you have no hope.
Right.
Because your faith is in what you hope for.
I can't help but think about Steve Backlund when I think about hope.
Right. Mr. Hope Injection. Mm-hmm.
And if you go to Igniting Hope, I'm just going to plug in.
There you go.
IgnitingHope.com. I tell you what, he's got declarations that will bring joy into your life. The product of hope is joy. It's mm-hmm. automatic. If you can find hope, you will be overjoyed.
Yeah. You know, a lot of things that we've just discovered on accident because we set some core values that were really healthy. Like number one, his presence. Like we center everything we do around his presence. And man, when we get together, life just shows up. Hope comes into the room. And I think part of that is just being cognizant of, man, we're going to start to be present-centered instead of event-centered or ministry-centered, you know, anything like that. But I think the other thing, especially for my life, that I can chalk up my hope level to is dreaming. I kind of came to a realization that dreaming is not a luxury. And you talk about dreaming, and to some people, it's like, oh, I can't afford that. I cannot afford to dream because I've got too much right now. Life is squashing me right now. I cannot even think about the future. But dreaming is not a luxury. In fact, it's part of God's nature. Like, where do you think dreaming started?
Yeah.
It started in Him.
Imagination and creativity.
It's part of His nature. And we are charged with delivering that through us into this earth as an encounter. Dreaming is an encounter of hope. And that's why I said that statement early on, that religion is restriction and not freedom, because you have to have freedom for hope to happen. And you have to have freedom for dreaming to happen. Mm. And that's so important. And we found this many times, people just flashing through my mind. They get hope and they start dreaming. They're like, you know, I am supposed to write this book, or I am supposed to do that. Their dreams were buried because hope had dwindled. So it's so important to check your hope level every day. Where is your hope level? I love that about Steve Backlund.
Well, you know, mentioning the offspring of hope is joy. A lot of people don't want to go beyond that ceiling, and they say, don't get your hopes up because you might be disappointed. And what happens is you remain below the ceiling of of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have hope, then you can't experience joy. And if you don't get your hopes up, then you don't have a fear of being disappointed. However, you're in a place of misery.
Yeah.
It's this place of misery. But if you allow your hopes to skyrocket, get as high as they possibly can, dream big and hope for the very best and the biggest and the brightest future, then you're in a state of perpetual joy.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, then you're in a better place to receive bad news than you were
That's true, right,
below
right.
the ceiling.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. In real life, for sure.
Wow.
So it's impossible to be disappointed when you have hope.
Yeah. Hope is powerful, and it is something that the world is looking for. And I think we've missed it a little bit because we've been very dutiful with church and our religion, air quotes. But hope is something that can infect anyone, anywhere, any place, anytime. You know, we talk about this a lot, use this language, but when we start carrying hope as an encounter, it is infectious. Hope is just a natural thing that happens when you carry His presence. And I think that's a real marker of the body of Christ and of Christianity. And you mentioned, you know, people walking around in misery, in that state of misery. And there's a scripture for that that popped in my head when you were talking about that, is that hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Mm.
So like, why are we going to be sick when the answer is hope? I just wrote a little devotional series for Dustin Smith's Be Fierce men's app. And one of the things in there that I talked about all the time was, okay, now that your life has changed, find some people who have a like heart and go do something impossible. And that risk, where you step into something that's impossible with the Holy Spirit, is really where hope comes alive, you know, because do you need hope to just pay your bills and go to work? Well, maybe, but that's really not the hope we're talking about. The hope that we're talking about is that we can see the earth wrecked for Jesus, you know?
It's agents of encounter. That's what we're called to be. And as we step out and we begin to infect other people's lives and bring encounter to their lives, we become hope dealers. And that's a great thing to kind of counteract dope dealers with, you know, the, right. the guys that are ruining lives. Yeah. We're actually strengthening and bringing up and pulling people out of that place of misery and setting them on a new course, a brand new destiny, yeah. and a place that has a future mm-hmm. and a hope.
And a hope, right.
Coming up in the show, we're going to be talking with Aaron Garcia. He is a local friend of ours, and he is running a ministry called SOS Ministries. So he'll talk a little bit more about that, but it's a great story behind that. Just one day decided to go out and feed the homeless, and ever since that day, they've been doing it every week, mm-hmm. and God has just blessed their
miracles.
Socks off.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible
yeah.
provision
yeah.
that has come into that ministry, and they're really good friends, he and his wife. They're growing family, and they're just wonderful people. So look forward to talking with Aaron Garcia when we come back next week. Empowering Women to Thrive. Don't want to miss that episode as we talk with Alicia Rosler and our very own Haley Kaler about the new On Fire podcast. Stick around. We'll be back with Aaron Garcia. Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Recently, there has been an opening for sponsorship of the program. If your group or organization would like to sponsor the Next Gen Worship broadcast, please email us info@nextgenworship.com. This is a powerful way to partner with a movement that is inspiring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Become a sponsor of the Next Gen Worship broadcast today. Find out more information at nextgenworship.com or submit your request for sponsorship via email info@nextgenworship.com. And thank you for supporting the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Alicia Rosler and Haley Kaler talking about the brand new podcast that is empowering women to thrive, the On Fire podcast. Today, we've been talking about hope dealers and igniting a culture with hope. And someone who has been doing that in real life, we have him on the program today, Aaron Garcia.
Hey, Aaron, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Glad to be here.
Hey, we had you on maybe about 6 months or so ago, and you completely blew me away because I didn't realize that there was such a like-hearted guy that was doing the real stuff in the real world with real people in our city. So, man, I just totally enjoyed that interview. And we got a lot of amazing things to talk about, some really incredible testimonies to share. Before we do that, tell us who you are and give us a little backstory.
Yeah, so my name's Aaron Garcia. I've lived in Joplin, Missouri a majority of my life, actually almost all of my life. I've attempted many times to leave this area, but every time God just kept bringing me back. So I've been here for 35 years, got a beautiful wife and a 10-month-old daughter, Vivian, and things are just going really well for me in my life right now. So
yeah, well, let's talk about, I just want to dive right in. Let's sure. talk about Washington Hope Center. Tell us what that is. Tell us a story. I mean, you basically bought this building and property for $1.
$1.
$1. So, yeah. Okay. So paint the picture. Give us the story.
Sure. So tracking back about a year ago, we were kind of going through the motions. We were serving people in the streets, taking care of the homeless, all those different things. And we heard a vision from God, and he kept telling us, you need to have a block party in the community. And I'm like, God, where are we going to go for that? Like, I have no clue. So as time went on, we just kind of fell into Easttown, which is over on the east portion of Joplin, Missouri. It's a very underprivileged area, a lot of poverty over there. So we said, you know what, let's just do it. So we ended up having a block party. We made the event completely free for everybody in Easttown, and we call it the Broadway Bash, which is the main street over there in uh-huh. Easttown. We partnered up with the mural people who actually want to put a mural on one of the side buildings there. The city at first told us no. And obviously, as you know how God works, those doors opened up and they allowed us to go over there and have that block party for these people. Out of nowhere, 13 churches called us up and said, hey, we heard about this block party. How do we get involved?
Oh.
So from there, we end up getting free food, inflatables for the kids. We had like a carnival, just kind of a cool area. And while we were over there, some city council said, hey, you know that Washington Education Center is up for bid. You guys should bid that. And we're like, why do we need a building? I mean, we're serving people plenty in the streets and and we're doing God's work, so we don't really need a building at this time. Well, fast forward about 6 months later, we started noticing we did need a building because the amount of people that we were serving, which is right around 150 people every Sunday, we call it Sunday service. So we're literally having church in the streets, feeding, bringing the word and praying for people and just seeing miraculous things happen. We started looking for a building, but as we were looking for a building, we just kept falling short every single time. Either people wanted too much money for the building, or we just didn't find the right building in the right area. So February of this year, the actual Joplin School District called us and said, hey, we're going to open the bid for Washington Education Center again because we opened it before and no one made a bid. So we closed the bid and then now we're going to open it back up again and we want you guys to make a bid. And I said, well, we don't really have a lot of money, so I don't really know how much to bid for a big building like that. By the way, it's 20,000 square foot.
20,000.
20,000 square foot. So they said, well, technically we can't give it to you for free by law, but we can give it to you for a dollar. I said, we're going to do that. We will bid $1. And if it's God's will, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we put in the bid for a dollar and I actually wrote up a professional letter and made it really, really nice and told them what we're going to do with the facility. And in April, they called us and said, congratulations, you have won the bid for Washington Education Center for $1.
Wow, wow, wow. That's incredible.
So, yeah.
Well, tell us what you're going to use this building for, because you've got a huge vision. Like we have been praying for this and trying to work towards this. And like, God, how can this happen? Because we both want to see our city transformed. We want to see it impacted. But at the granular level, it's all about changing one person's life at a time.
Sure.
And how do you get that person from point A to rebuilding their life into becoming, you know, who they're born to be?
Right.
So tell us all about what you plan on doing there.
The old school was called Washington Education Center. And we knew that being new neighbors in the community over there, nobody really liked us at first. We got word of it because they didn't know what we were going to do with the facility. But we wanted to preserve the name. So we knew that Washington was what we wanted to preserve. And then what is SOS? What is serving on the streets? Well, you know, our logo is an anchor, which is the hope that is the anchor to our soul. And I was like, man, what do we do, guys? Well, we serve hope. That's what we do.
That's awesome.
So the board got together and we said, why not Washington Hope Center?
That's perfect.
And I was like, that's amazing. Let's do it. And so we just went forward with that. So the plans for the facility, 20,000 square foot facility, it's got an auditorium, it's got 18 classrooms, it's got four huge bathrooms, it's got countless storage. I mean, it's got just everything. It's a huge yard, an acre yard fenced in. We want to make it a community center and we want it open to the community. We want to have a recreational room. It's funny when you hear the word recreational. Someone the other day said, what about a recreation center?
Wow,
So that's kind of what it's going to be. We're going to recreate people's lives. We're going to have like GED classes in there, like where kids have dropped out of high school and get their education again. So get a GED tutor in there, some computers set up, even work with a local university, maybe have accessibility for people who don't have transportation, get them in there and start their online college. Get them educated, get them back into civilization. We also want to do counseling, so family and addiction counseling, because it's pretty rampant over there. After school programs, different things like that. And then also, obviously, block parties, community outreaches and stuff like that. In a nutshell, that's what the Washington Hope Center is.
Yeah.
And we're also having events. We're having worship nights where before the place is actually open, we're having worship nights where you guys were, Next Gen was involved. We had Expand Night of Worship where we put an X at the very center of the room to where God's glory is going to just pour out from that center there.
Yeah.
So that's what we plan on doing for the Washington Hope Center. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. You were telling me before we hit record about some of your personal journey in this, and you talk about, you know, people encountering hope and then, you know, their lives starting to be molded by God and filled by God and taken down a supernatural path. Man, that's really the story of your life. Why don't you give us kind of a real quick testimony about how God took you from where you were to where you are now? It's just rather shocking, honestly, to see what he's done with you.
So when I was 16 years old, I fell into addiction. After high school, I moved into an actual meth house where we were dealing drugs and all those things. And my life had pretty much hit rock bottom. And I was down in the basement of the drug house by myself. And something inside me said to reach out, to cry out. So you know, not knowing God at the time, I called out and said, God, if you're real, I need you to come in and change my life forever. And literally 3 days later, I was getting kicked out of my house, out of the drug house, moved back with my parents, and changed my life forever. Became a registered nurse in 2008. Fast forwarding about 7-8 years later, I ended up back into school. God told me to go back to school, and I was like, well, okay, I'm not sure why. So I went back, and I just recently got my master's degree as a nurse practitioner.
Wow.
So to understand how busy my life has been, we bought a new house, me and my wife did. We had a baby. She's 10 months old now. We started a nonprofit. We purchased a building for $1. I started my new job just recently. The list goes on. So my life prior to this point had reached full capacity.
Yeah.
And sometimes we wonder, you know, how do we go on with life? Because we're just so busy. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, when you come up out of that busyness, out of that busy season, and you look back, you understand the strength that God has given you. Mm. And you know that you can go further.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's almost like endurance. So the more that I do something, the more that I work at it, the stronger I become and the further I can go.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people stop at the uncomfortability. So when God told me to get outside the four walls of the church and start SOS Ministries, He meant it. He meant for me to get outside of my comfort zone, not to leave the church, but to get outside my comfort zone mm-hmm. and start reaching people who are out there more than in here mm-hmm. for now. And so that's what I did. And there's just so many miraculous things that I've seen in the kingdom just shift just off of the authority that God gives us mm-hmm. to go out and do what He's called us to do.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone listening today and you feel like you've reached max capacity, I say go forth. I say continue to press forward with the race that God has given you and don't give up. Mm-hmm. Because when we give up, it's when we're giving in to the counterpart to what God really has for our lives. And He wants us to always exceed, go from glory to glory. So, you know, I'm here now and I look back at all these things. I'm just going, man, I can do more. I mean, wow. I can go further.
Wow.
You know, now there's seasons of rest and different things like that. I get that. But I'm just saying that whatever God's called you to, be obedient in that category.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure. Well, we want to get people connected with you. We want to get people connected with your ministry and with Washington Hope Center for sure. This is a huge vision, a vision that cannot be accomplished by one guy. It's going to take partnerships. It's going to take financial support. Mm-hmm. So we want to give people an opportunity who are looking to partner with people who are doing the real stuff at the ground level that's going to affect this city. Mm-hmm. So give us all that information. Tell people how they can kind of get involved.
Yeah. So we have two areas that you can reach us in. We have our website, which is serveoutpoursacrifice.com. You can go on there. There's a donate button if you'd like to donate one time or if you'd like to donate monthly. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is at Serving on the Streets on Facebook. We are looking for sponsors. The facility is structurally sound. You can function out of it and all those things. But we do need new windows. We need new flooring, new roofing, mm-hmm. and those things cost. So we are definitely looking for sponsors and partners who are willing to pour into this.
Yeah.
If you would also like to volunteer your time, we definitely need help cleaning the facility up. We need help with construction and different things like that. So they can also reach my email at aarong_23@hotmail.com. Get you more involved.
Yeah.
Change a city.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Aaron, I love your heart. It's obvious what God's doing, and it's so incredibly empowering to everyone else who are kind of standing alongside and going, man, God, when are you going to do something incredible in our city? And then here you go. Of course, God's always working through people.
Yeah.
So doing the big stuff, heaven on earth. So, man, we champion your heart, Aaron, and say we're along for the ride with you. And we just speak great blessing and provision and kingdom advancement through everything that you guys are doing.
Appreciate that.
So good to have our friend Aaron Garcia on the program with us doing great things in our own community. If you're in Joplin or the surrounding area, get connected with SOS Ministries. There are tons of other ministries that you can help out with. You know, a lot of times these nonprofits are making huge waves for the kingdom, and they need all the support they could possibly get. So get involved in your community, help out whenever you can, and donate, please. Next week, we're talking with Haley Kaler and Alicia Rosler about their brand new podcast, The On Fire Podcast, Empowering Women to Thrive. You don't want to miss it.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.